Esto es Rise and Shine, un momento de tranquilidad, música y muy buenas charlas.
Welcome back to Rise and Shine. Al Adams at the microphone, talking with Dan Perelman and Martin Molteni, two outstanding and distinguished, and to be even more distinguished, chefs here in Buenos Aires. We're talking about Argentine food as it has been, as it is, and how maybe it's going to be. Changes in new directions from something that generally is fairly standardized, homogeneous restaurant fare, as good as it may be to the palate. We were talking with Martin about the profession of chef and how that's fairly new, the phenomenon of cooking schools in Buenos Aires. And you were talking a little bit about the process for interviewing new hires in your restaurant. What do you look for in a new chef or new baby chef or apprentice chef?
Well, nowadays, what I really try to find is passion on them.
Passion. You know? Every interview I have here, it's always a key point. Passion.
Yes. Yes. You need passion for this because passion and commitment is those are two things that they really have to be there, you know.
How do you see passion in somebody? They come in and jumping up and down, or they?
Push them
taking the clothes off.
I really push them to explain me what they really want out of this, why they are choosing this, and why they want to work in the restaurant. And because I don't think there is a logic on that, you know. I mean, if you are a logic person, you cannot choose cookery, you know. I mean, you cannot choose restaurants. I mean, so we have to look after that. A small thing inside them, you know, that they really...
They can have all the knowledge, all the recipes, all the technique, but if they don't have the passion to put it all together...
I prefer to form them, you know, to prepare them and not to have somebody with a lot of preparation, but that he can't understand me.
So you wouldn't hire me?
Probably.
Probably would not hire me.
I don't know. I have to interview you. We can try.
Dan has certainly got passion.
Yes,
you could hire him, right?
Well, he could hire me, but I'm not looking for work.
You're not looking for work. Well,
I remember something very similar when I first started working in New York. One of the chefs who I worked for, who's gone on to be fairly famous in the reality cooking show world. Mm-hmm. We won't mention his name, but everybody knows who he is out there. And he had a restaurant then, and he used to say that he always wanted one chef one cook in the kitchen who had come from the major culinary school, which shared, we won't say its name, but it shared three letters with one of
CIA,
those agencies.
Yes, I'll
that
say
you,
it.
There you go. But he always wanted somebody there because they knew all the formulas, mm-hmm. and they knew all the rules, and mm-hmm. they knew how to make everything. Mm-hmm. But since they couldn't actually do it, he needed everybody else to
they
know how to do it.
He
needed everybody else to then turn that into reality. Mm-hmm. And I think that can be very true anywhere, is that if you've got a school that's very focused on memorizing things, mm-hmm. you know, and if that's the way people are trained, mm-hmm. they don't necessarily learn how to do it.
Would you see, a general question, kind of off the subject, but it's still on. Would you see generally education philosophy in the United States is different from the philosophy here or the practice here in Argentina? More memory, maybe less analysis, more critical thinking in the United States, more the kind of stuff that would bring you a challenge and challenging chefs who might come out of New York rather than in the first instance in Buenos Aires. It goes to the education philosophy.
Yeah, I'm not sure specifically about culinary schools, but it was interesting. This came up in a discussion the other day about universities, is that here it's very common if you're not doing well in a class to simply, after your exam, say, don't put it on my transcript, take it off, I'm dropping the class, and you go back and take it again later. You can't do that in the United States. Once you start, basically, and get past the first couple of weeks, it's on your transcript whether you like it or not. There are pluses and minuses. The plus is that by the time you actually take it and pass the class, you really have learned it.
Maybe.
Well, you have to have learned it enough to pass the class. So you don't end up, you may end up with a transcript here that feels, from an American perspective, sort of faked, like, oh, gee, they took the class three times. But that's our culture. The flip side of it from, I think, the Argentine perspective would be, okay, they took it three times, but you took it once and failed, and you have it, and you go around claiming you took it. So here they do actually learn it, even if it takes longer to do it. There's also more of an emphasis sort of on pass-fail than on number grades, even though they have
and more emphasis on knowledge, on knowing the substance rather than really, the process.
Yes.
And the technique.
Whereas we tend to focus more on the process, and I think the Argentines tend to focus more on knowing the information.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, a few countries have a higher level of educational standard than this one.
That's true.
I mean, some of the colleges here are really terrific. I was at the National Colegio Nacional the other day. I mean, you can't find a better
school. How many countries are there that basically have 100% literacy rate?
Even the United States. Mind you, the visibility of technology was not high. I didn't see a lot of computers. I saw an old library. But my goodness, the teachers in that place, they would put a lot of teachers elsewhere to shame. And bright kids, too. Anyway, how do you spend your day, Martin, your average day here? This is not a reality show on TV here.
No.
Getting the real stuff now.
Not really.
You get up at 12 o'clock.
Yes, I more or less start because we don't open for lunch.
You don't?
So, no, we open only for dinner. Mm-hmm. So we start at 20 o'clock, but my day start at 10 o'clock more or less. I go to the restaurant and start to organize everything.
Do you have a staff meeting?
I have a staff meeting, but afterwards, you know, when everybody arrives. Everybody arrives to the restaurant at 16 o'clock. So,
and you're there at 10 o'clock.
Yes, because I have to work on different stuff. It's a small company, so I have to do the marketing, the communication, the administration. Exactly.
Holy cow. Do you chop the vegetables? No, you don't do that.
No, not really. Not a lot, sometimes. When the service is going to start, I start to work with my hands, with the vegetables and everything. But no, during the day.
The service starts at 8 o'clock, 10 o'clock?
At 8 o'clock, exactly.
At 8 o'clock?
8 o'clock.
So, for American tourists.
Yes,
we're used to having
dinner
at 6 o'clock.
We have a lot of people coming at 8 o'clock, actually, which is a good thing because it allows us to make two seats sometimes.
Would you have space next week for two?
Yes, of course.
I'll call it. Maybe after the show we'll make an arrangement.
It would be a pleasure.
No. And what would you see to be your greatest challenge, your greatest difficulty operationally in the restaurant?
Well, actually here in this country it's very difficult to operate a restaurant, you know, as a business. You have a lot of things to do with all the...
Papeleo.
Yes, exactly.
That's called red tape in English.
For taxis, for everything, you know, it's just, it's not, I suppose in the state you do that by at the end of the year. Here we have to do it every day, you know, I mean, we have to really keep a track every day of everything. And
you have to do this yourself, probably.
Yes, of course, I have an accountant, but...
That's why there's so many accountants in this country.
Could be.
Seriously, it seems everybody I know is an accountant or a lawyer.
Yes, and it's really difficult to run a business in this country. More if you look to the creative part and not the commercial part. Because I really want to do good things, you know, a good quality. And I really don't want that.
But your life is kind of schizophrenic in a way. As a chef, you're creative. You're an artist. On the other hand, you have to deal with the grime and crumminess and the daily grind of running a business.
Yes.
You should have an MBA degree.
And they don't match, actually.
No. Well, you could be creative in your finances, but then you get in trouble probably, right? How do you avoid this, Dan?
Well, we're a much smaller operation. We're a part-time operation. And, to be honest, I think the way the Puertas Cerradas movement operates is more in the spirit of the law than necessarily the letter of the law, if we can say it that way. Mm. You know, we take our time. We pay the taxes. We've had a sanitation inspection. We've done all of that. But whether or not everything is exactly the way it would be, probably not. But then, you know, we're two people, you know, that are involved in our own home. And, you know, we don't have a staff. We don't have employees. We don't have to deal with all that sort of stuff. It's just two people who live together sharing.
The employees, I want to get back to that after we take a break for some more music. From Urbana FM, Al Adams, the microphone. Stay with us.
Someday it will come, but I'm not there. You'll be the happy one when I'm no more here. Your friend knows the route you meet up in rhymes. Thank God. Song that you can play and tell your lovely ones who I had been.
Esto es Rise and Shine, un momento de tranquilidad, música y muy buenas charlas.
Welcome back to Rise and Shine, your favorite Saturday morning get up and go show. Al Adams with the microphone, bringing you a show today with two chefs here in Buenos Aires. We're talking about Argentine food, traditional Argentine food, and new directions in Argentine food. And we have Dan Perelman of Salt Shaker fame, restaurant Puerta Cerradas, and author of a wonderful blog of the same name, and Martin Molteni, who is the owner and chef operator of the Pura Tierra at 3 de Febrero, 1167 in Belgrano, not too far from Barrio Chino, as I recall, just out there yesterday, in fact. Talking about operating a restaurant, you're watching reality shows on television, you get the feeling that they're moody chefs and they're pouting waiters and they're nasty customers and there are temperamental owners who love to fire people, you know. What do you say to that? Is that the way it is?
Well, actually it is. At least what I learned during my career was that kind of preparation, you know. I mean, I was teach that way. And I suppose I did it until I understood that there is another way to. Now I have an open kitchen, so I cannot shout
no
a lot.
No canky panky, no monkey business.
I cannot shout a lot during the service because everybody will notice.
So what do you do? Pass them notes? Writing? Yeah.
I say everything with my face, you know. I mean, they understand.
Dirty
my,
look.
My staff understand.
Will kill. And so it's the passion you look for in new people hiring into your kitchen. How many do you have on your cooking staff?
Well, actually, we are six on the kitchen, with plus two people who comes for training, you know, some pasantes, what we call the pasantes.
Apprentices.
Yes, in some way.
An intern.
They're becoming from a school?
Yes, normally, but
gastronomy.
They come most of the time from overseas, you know, Peru, Mexico.
Why?
What we call a stage.
Stage. Why the great popularity of Peruvian food today? We don't have too much time, but maybe ask that.
No, I mean, it's pretty short, and it's because Argentina, it has still a good technique, cuisine, a good cooking technique. So
Peru.
They come to Argentina, mm-hmm. but they have a great food. So mm-hmm. I think they try to learn both things.
It's unique in South America, isn't it? So many of the dishes are unique.
Peruvian cuisine,
Aquí
yes,
de gallina,
it's great.
Or papas a la huancaína.
Oh, they have a great big staff of.
And that would come from where, you think? From the Peruvian indigena tradition or from the Virreinato?
No, it's their tradition because they have a lot of products in their land. They have a lot of different products.
And you have to also remember, as you know from when you were there, that there was a big Asian influence, both Japanese and Chinese, in Peruvian population.
Mm-hmm. Chifas are every
which
other corner.
Chifa is just the corruption of the Chinese word mm-hmm. chifan, mm-hmm. which means to eat rice.
Mm-hmm. So, or chaofan.
Chaofan, which is fried rice.
Mm-hmm. You know. Interesting, how in Lima, how many more Chinese restaurants there are than Japanese restaurants. I never found a lot of Japanese restaurants here. But
well, there's
Chinese
a bigger Chinese population.
Everywhere.
Yeah, bigger Chinese than Japanese
population. It's wonderful. Well, I want to thank you two guys very much for coming in and kind of sharing your wisdom and your experience with those who are listening to us today. It was Dan Perelman and Marty Molteni. I'm being serious when I say I'll be over at your restaurant next week.
Okay, sure. You
wait for me. Right. Corner table with a flower and a nice view. Particularly the kitchen. I want to see if that's really true.
It is.
How well
it
you
is.
All behave.
He's right there.
But anyway, this is Urbana FM 89.5. Al Adams at the microphone. Signing off. Inviting you to join us next week, same time, same place, for another conversation with an interesting cast of characters. And before I leave, I want to thank Hernan Violas, studio engineer, and Nacho Gagliano, producer. Until then, aloha.
Al Adams regresa el próximo sábado de 9 a 10. Rise and Shine, música y conversaciones en clave íntima. Por Urbana. 89.5